RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you first our news, followed by news from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, and news in brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you to you our daily segment, Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Indonesian Ulama Council MUI to Israel, Vice President Yusuf Kala affirmed only state officials unable to go to Israel. Transportation Minister Budi Karya launched Yogyakarta for support in construction of new airport. Now the news in detail. Responding to one of the commission chairmen of Indonesian Ulama Council MUI who visited Israel, Vice President Yusuf Kala affirmed that only state officials are not allowed to visit Israel because Indonesia and Israel do not have diplomatic relations. Chairman of the Commission for Women, Youth and Families of Indonesian Central Ulama Council, Istikshora, and six other Muslim delegates visited Israel to meet with Israel President Reuven Rivlin on Wednesday. In response, Vice President Yusuf Kala told reporters at his office in Jakarta on Friday that only state officials are not allowed to visit Israel because Indonesia and Israel do not have diplomatic relations. Although state officials are not allowed to make a visit to Israel, Indonesian citizens are not prohibited from visiting Israel. Vice President Yusuf Kala also mentioned that a visit to Israel has been regularly conducted by some Indonesian citizens for worship activities as Christians who were on pilgrimage to Israel, as well as Muslims who worship to Al-Aqsa Mosque. Vice President Yusuf Kala also admitted that he ever been to Israel, but not as a state official. The fourth president of Indonesia, Abdurrahman Wahid, also visited Israel as an unofficial state.
Kalau negara seperti Israel tidak ada diplomatik.
If country like Israel has no diplomatic relation, one who could not make a visit is the state official whose passport says unable to visit Israel. But usually many people each year visit Israel. They go for pilgrimage. Take for example my friends Christian, they go pilgrimage to Israel, and Muslim go to the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Gus Dur has also been there. I've been there but in a non-official position. Meanwhile, Chairman of the Foreign Affairs at MUI, Muhyiddin Junaidi, expressed disappointment to hear that Istikshora visited Israel. Muhyiddin Junaidi assured that previously MUI did not know the plan that Istikshora joined the group who visited the state of Israel. The trip was organized and financed by AIJAC, an institution of Jewish lobby in Australia. MUI condemned the Istikshora's participation in a visit to Israel as the situation in Palestine has been seriously heated since October 2015. Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi has praised the governments of Kulon Progo District and Yogyakarta Special Province for their support to realize all phases of the construction of a new port in Temon Sub-District. When inspecting the plan site for the airport in Temon Sub-District, Kulon Progo District on Saturday, Minister Budi said that on behalf of the central government, his ministry had allowed Sultan Tent and the governor of Yogyakarta Special Province and the Kulon Progo District government for their support to this plan. Without the support, they would not be able to realize the construction of the airport. He added that he would urge President Joko Widodo to inaugurate the groundbreaking ceremony for the construction of the airport. He believes that Kulon Progo will become a strategic tourism destination once the construction of the airport is completed. The district administration of Raja Ampat in West Papua province will organize various festivals to lure tourists to the island. Head of Raja Ampat Tourism Office, Yusdi Lamatengo, said on Saturday. The planned festival will be part of the tourism campaign for the region. He explained that this year's list of festivals includes a maritime festival, a Pute and Drone festival, the Wonderful Missal festival, the Wonderful Salawati festival, the Wonderful Waigeo festival, Peace Cooking festival, and Red and White festival. Lamatengo added that there will be also a spiritual festival, a Blue Sea festival, and Raja Ampat Fair and the Raja Ampat Children's Reading Festival. He also pointed out that the events are also intended to preserve and promote the region's local culture and arts. To improve the transportation access to Raja Ampat, the government has also launched several key infrastructure projects on the islands. The government has set a target of channeling 110 trillion rupiah in people's business credit core to small and medium enterprises across Indonesia this year. Deputy Minister of Finance Section to the Cooperative Small and Medium Business Ministry, Brahman Setio, said on Saturday the annual interest rate of the loans was set at 9% during a meeting of the Policy Committee on January 20. Setio confirmed that 81% of the loans will be distributed to micro businesses, 18% to retail businesses, and 1% to Indonesian migrant workers. He explained that KUR will be distributed this year by 38 financial institutions, including 33 banks, 4 non-bank financial institutions, and 1 cooperative. Bantul administration has added 3 cultural villages on the 2016 list for the preserving local arts and culture. Head of Cultural Services for Bantul District, Sunarto, said on Saturday, based on the governor's decree, cultural villages are required to preserve the artistic and cultural site, local cuisine and traditional daily rituals of residents that speak the Japanese language. He added that the total number of cultural villages in Bantul currently stand at 12. The governor's decree added that the 12 cultural villages from December 2, 2016, each village will have the status for 5 years. The 12 cultural villages include Mulyodadi, Bambang Limpuro, Tri Murti Serandakan, Sri Gadin Sandent, Delingo Delingo, Tri Widadi Pajangan, and Selo Harjo Pundong. State-owned port operator PT Pelindo II will immediately start the development of international port in Kijin, West Kalimantan, with a cost of around 5 trillion rupiah. The company's technical and risk management director, Dani Rusli Utama, said during a visit to the region on Saturday that the development is urgent to reduce logistic costs in West Kalimantan. Currently, site is using the Wikora port in Pontianak, but it's operating at 2 or 3 times its intended capacity. He added that the Wikora port was designed to have a capacity of 100,000 TEU, but this was increased to 250,000 TEU in order to cope with extra demand. However, due to increasing number of bigger ships that dock in the area every year, it is no longer suitable for further development, as it can only handle relatively small ships. The last item, Bali is expected to attract 40% of the total target of 15 million foreign tourists to Indonesia in 2017. Assistant Deputy for Tourism, Human Resource Development, Wisnu Bawa Tarunachaya, said on Saturday that the province has been given a bigger portion than other regions because it still remains the prime destination for foreign tourists. He added that Bali is still number one compared to other regions in Indonesia. The capital Jakarta is expected to attract 30%, while Batam in the Sumatra province of Rio Island is expected to get 20%. All other regions of the country are expected to get the remaining 10%. Tarunachaya remarked that the 3 major regions will play important roles in meeting the targets for attracting foreign tourists in Indonesia. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, welcome to a weekly news from across the country, which presents various interesting information from all over the archipelago in a week. We begin from Ternate, North Maluku.
the local community, including tourists, are still banned to climb to the peak of Mount Gamalama in Ternate, North Maluku, since the 1,700 meters above sea level active volcano still in alert stages. Head of observation post of Mount Gamalama, Darno Lamani in Ternate on Wednesday said, in accordance with the regulation, anyone are banned to climb to the volcano in approximately radius 1.5 kilometers from the crater of the mountain. The alert stages of Mount Gamalama has been affected since 2015, following fluctuative volcanic at the mount. Even more, in early January 2017, the mount spouted volcanic ash and spread to a number of locations in Ternate. Next information comes from West Java. The team from UNESCO are ready to visit Sukabumi Regency in April to evaluate and verify the readiness of Ciletuh Geopark Pelabuhan Ratu before decided to include in the UNESCO Global Geopark at the end of 2017. The Regional Assistance to Economic and Development Field Regional Secretary of West Java Province, Danny Juanda, in a press release on Wednesday, January 18, said the team will check one by one point which will be evaluated, including road infrastructure toward the geopark area, directional signs, and the availability of direction books. The assessment team from UNESCO, Danny added, will also look at other three important things which will be evaluated, such as geodiversity, biodiversity, and culture diversity. According to Danny, there are 13 points of leading tourism locations from 24 tourism locations in the geopark location which have been familiar among tourists. Last information from Langkat, North Sumatra. The rampant cases of drug trafficking in many villages of Langkat Regency, North Sumatra, makes the National Narcotics Agency preparing Free Drug Village in 2017. Head of the National Narcotics Agency, BNN, of Langkat, Adjunct Commissioner Ahmad Zaini, in Stabat on Wednesday said, later, in every sub-district, there should be available two free drug villages. Ahmad Zaini mentioned currently there is a drug-free village, namely Namu Sialang in Batang Serangan sub-district. In the village, there are tens of volunteers who actively anticipate the drug trafficking. In the village, there has been formed counseling team who give counseling to the local people any times to avoid any kinds of drug abuse. Hopefully, the positive activity will widely impact to other villages so that the people have been aware to eradicate and war against any kinds of drug crimes. Listener, that was today's news from across the country.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Ani Hasana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start with an event on January 22, 1905, about Bloody Sunday. Bloody Sunday is the name given to the events on Sunday, January 22, 1905, in St. Petersburg, Russia, where unarmed demonstrators led by Father Georgi Gepin were fired upon by soldiers of the Imperial Guard as they marched towards the Winter Palace to present a petition to Tsar Nicholas II of Russia. Bloody Sunday caused grave consequences for the Tsarist autocracy governing Imperial Russia, showing disregard for ordinary people, which undermined the state. The events in St. Petersburg provoked public outrage and a series of massive strikes that spread quickly throughout the industrial centers of the Russian Empire. The massacre on Bloody Sunday is considered to be the start of the active phase of the Revolution of 1905. In addition to beginning the 1905 Revolution, historians such as Leonel Kochan, in his book Russia in Revolution in 1890 to 1918, view the events of Bloody Sunday to be one of the key events which led to the Russian Revolution of 1917. And the next event was in 1957 when Israeli forces withdrew from the Sinai Peninsula in the Suez Crisis. The Suez Crisis, also named Tripartite Aggression, was an invasion of Egypt in late 1956 by Israel, followed by Britain and France. The aims were to regain Western control of the Suez Canal and to remove Egyptian President Nasser from power. After the fighting had started, the United States, the Soviet Union, and the United Nations got involved diplomatically, forcing Britain, France, and Israel to withdraw. On October 29, Israel invaded the Egyptian Sinai. Within a day, Britain and France issued a joint ultimatum to cease fire and then began to bomb Cairo. Despite the denials of their governments, it became clear that the Israeli invasion and its subsequent Anglo-French attack had been planned beforehand by the three countries. The three allies initially attained their military objectives, but pressure from the United States and the USSR at the United Nations and elsewhere forced them to withdraw. US President Dwight D. Eisenhower, who was in the midst of a re-election campaign, especially disapproved of the European action, of which he had not been informed. As a result of mounting pressure, Anglo-French forces withdrew by the end of the year. Historians have studied Britain's failure and conclude the crisis signified the end of Great Britain's role as one of the world's major powers. Israeli forces remained until March 1957, prolonging the crisis. In April 1957, the canal was finally reopened for shipping. Israel fulfilled some of its objectives, such as attaining freedom of navigation through the Straits of Tiran. As a result of the conflict, the United Nations deployed a Blue Helmeted Force, UNEF, to police the Egyptian-Israeli border. British Prime Minister Anthony Eden resigned, and USSR invaded Hungary. And the last event was in 1980 when Andrei Dmitrievich Sakharov was arrested. Andrei Sakharov was a Russian nuclear physicist, Soviet dissident, and human rights activist. He became renowned as the designer of the Soviet Union's third idea, a codename for Soviet development of thermonuclear weapons. Sakharov later became an advocate of civil liberties and civil reforms in the Soviet Union, for which he faced state persecution. These efforts earned him the Nobel Peace Prize in 1975. The Sakharov Prize, which is awarded annually by the European Parliament for people and organizations dedicated to human rights and freedoms, is named in his honor. Sakharov was arrested on January 22, 1980, following his public protests against the Soviet intervention in Afghanistan in 1979 and was sent to internal exile in the city of Gorky. On December 19, 1986, Mikhail Gorbachev, who had initiated the policies of perestroika and glasnost, called Sakharov to tell him that he and his wife could return to Moscow. And listener, that was Today in History. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Highlight of the Week entitled India Continues Keeping Interaction with ASEAN. A common history, culture, and knowledge have been supporting India to continue to maintain interaction with Southeast Asia. the cultural and intellectual exchanges and contact between the people become an important pillar in the relations between Indonesia and ASEAN. This was raised in the second International Conference on ASEAN-India Cultural and Civilizational Links in Jakarta on Thursday, January the 19th. It was organized by the Indian Diplomatic Mission to ASEAN in Jakarta in cooperation with the Directorate of Inter-Region Dialogue Partners, Foreign Ministry of Republic of Indonesia. The conference was opened by the Minister of State for Foreign Affairs of India, V.K. Singh, and Indonesian Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs, A.M. Fahir. The conference, which is divided into four sessions, discussed trade and maritime relations between India and Southeast Asia, a variety of experiences related to cultural relations of India and Southeast Asia, India strengthening cultural ties with Southeast Asia, and ASEAN-India partnership in the field of culture. The Indian ambassador to ASEAN, Suresh K. Reddy, said India and the ASEAN states are to commemorate 25 years of partnership relations in the 15th summit and the 5-year strategic partnership in 2017. Significantly, this also coincides with the anniversary of the 50th anniversary of ASEAN. The conference, he said, will be the first event to launch a series of celebrations that will be held throughout the year in India and the ASEAN member countries. He said the variety of cultural and activities will be filling the celebration, such as the ASEAN-India joint cultural performances in the performing arts, dance, music, food, movies, and more. Deputy Foreign Minister A.M. Fahir in Jakarta on Thursday admitted of feeling honored to join the second International Conference on ASEAN-India Cultural and Civilizational Links in Jakarta. This conference is about relationship and maritime trade between India and Southeast Asia. The conference also discussed efforts to strengthen the relations between India and Southeast Asia in the field of museums, art, literature, textiles, education, movies, and music. According to the deputy minister, India has a strong relationship with ASEAN. India also always takes care of relations with ASEAN. Additionally, M. Fahir said, Indonesia and India have strong cultural links that connect physically and emotionally. There is Borobudur Temple in Indonesia that has cultural relations with India. Keep in mind the three major religions in Indonesia, Hinduism, Buddhism, and Islam, even came from India. Islam came to Indonesia brought by the merchants of Gujarat, India, not directly from Arab. It shows how the physical and emotional relationship between India and Indonesia cannot be denied. Meanwhile, Deputy Director General of the Department of Kuala Lumpur Museum, Malaysia, Mohammed Sawali Hajbadi, said cultural ties with India could be strengthened through institutional role of the museum. According to him, a few museums in Malaysia are exhibiting Hindu heritage in ASEAN. Well, that was highlight of this week on India continues keeping interaction with ASEAN. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. Responding to the one of the commission chairman of the Indonesian Lama Council who visited Israel, Vice President Yusuf Kala affirmed that only state officials are not allowed to visit Israel because Indonesia and Israel do not have diplomatic relations. Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi has praised the governments of Kulon Progo District and Yogyakarta Special Province for their support to realize all phases of the construction of a new port in Temon Sub-District. The District Administration of Raja Ampat in West Papua Province will organize various festivals to lure tourists to the island. Head of Raja Ampat Tourism Office Yusdi Lama Tengo said on Saturday the planned festivals will be part of tourism campaign for the region. The government has set a target of channeling 110 trillion rupiah in people's business credit score to small and medium enterprises across Indonesia this year. Bantul administration has added three cultural villages on the 2016 list for the preserving local arts and culture. State-owned port operator PT Pelindo II will immediately start the development of international port in Kijin, West Kalimantan, with a cost of around 5 trillion rupiah. Bali is expected to attract 40% of the total target of 15 million foreign tourists to Indonesia in 2017. Assistant Deputy for Tourism and Human Resource Development Wisnu Bawa Tarunajaya said on Saturday that the province has been given a bigger portion than other regions because it still remains the prime destination for foreign tourists. That's News in Brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11785 kHz, and 15150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here's our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder. Today, I will introduce a typical beverage from West Sumatra called Kawa Daun. So stay tuned in RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Besides through the shortwave, you can also listen to this program via www.voi.co.id. West Sumatra people have a different way to enjoy coffee. In addition to grind beans, they also harvest the leaves. Then, the coffee leaves are processed into typical drink called Kawa Daun, and generally they enjoy it at casual times. For coffee drinkers may never have thought that in addition to the beans, the leaves of a coffee tree can also be used as beverage. The coffee leaf, besides having aroma and taste, which is no less nice compared to the coffee bean, it also believed to have other benefits for health. In West Sumatra, Tanah Datar, this drink or beverage was first introduced and got the name Kawa Daun, or daun mean leaves. If we pass Tanah Datar, then along the road, especially in the highland regions like Tabe, Salim Pawang, and Sungai Tarap, we will find many taverns that reads Sedia Daun Kawa or Serving Kawa Daun. In addition to the local community, many passing drivers would stop and enjoy the typical Minang Kawa. Not infrequently, they bring raw Kawa Daun for souvenirs or consume it themselves. Kawa actually means coffee, derived from the Arabic language Kahwa, while the word daun itself is derived from Indonesian. So Kawa Daun is a beverage made from brewing the daun or the leaves of coffee, just like tea brewed with hot water rather than beans. The color of Kawa Daun describes the dark history, especially for people of Minangkabau in the days gone by. According to the local story, in the past, when Japan still occupied West Sumatra, they picked fruit of fresh coffee beans belonging to the local people and exported them abroad. As a result, people could not enjoy coffee beans. So at that time, drinking coffee was a distinctive experience or luxury and illustrated the social status of a person. This has resulted in people who also want to enjoy coffee put an initiative to replace processed coffee beans with coffee leaves that turn out to have no less delicious taste than the refined coffee beans. Since then, the habits of people to make kawa daun coffee became popular until today. How to enjoy kawa leaves or kawa daun is relatively easy, simple, and still in the traditional way. At first, the leaves are dried by roasting over the fire for approximately 12 hours. This drying step is the most time-consuming phase. Another way is usually done by drying the leaves of coffee with a skewer, then roast it on a wood-fueled fireplace until slightly charred. Then the leaves that have dried are mixed with cold water and cooked until boiled. The leaves, which are a little burnt, can also be crushed and kneaded into small pieces. The small flake is then brewed with boiling hot water. After that, it is filtered through a tea sieve and the coffee is ready to be served. Uniquely, kawa daun is usually not presented in a glass or cup, but poured into a container of made of coconut shell. And this is what makes kawa daun taste delicious and fragrant and, of course, distinct. The advantage of kawa daun is its caffeine content is lighter than the regular coffee made of beans. Therefore, this beverage is suitable to serve to those who have an allergy to regular coffee. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder Today featuring kawa daun coffee from West Sumatra. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, welcome back in our regular program Miscellany with me, Alika. Today's edition is that West Java Province is preparing Ciletuh as World Geopark. Provincial Government of West Java is currently working to develop tourism destination Geopark Ciletuh in Sukabumi. The provincial government is also preparing Ciletuh to be a World Geopark or UNESCO Global Geopark. To support the preparation, the provincial government will form Regional Technical Implementation Unit or UPTD of Geopark Ciletuh. This policy was decided after the preparatory meeting of Geopark Ciletuh, Palabuhan Ratu at Gedung Sate in Bandung, West Java. Department of Culture and Tourism of West Java claimed that the preparation of Geopark Ciletuh to become World Geopark or UNESCO Global Geopark has reached 80%. Regional Assistant 2 for the Economy and Regional Development Secretariat of West Java Province, Danny Juanda, said that UPTD will manage technically Geopark Ciletuh, which has been confirmed as National Geopark in 2015 under the Department of Tourism and Culture of West Java and Sukabumi. Danny also said that UPTD has been also formed in order to prepare the arrival of the fact-finding mission of UNESCO in April. The team will come to the Sukabumi district to evaluate and verify the readiness of the Geopark Ciletuh, Palabuhan Ratu, before it is decided to enter into the World Geopark Network. UNESCO team will check one by one point to be assessed, including road infrastructure to the area of Geopark and signpost direction to the book's availability. In addition, there are three important things that will be evaluated. They are geological diversity or geodiversity, biological diversity or biodiversity, and cultural diversity. Denny further said that the government will prepare the infrastructure and facility of Ciletu in a bid to be successfully crowned as the World Geopark. He added that UNESCO asked for various detailed items, including the traffic signs to the area of Geopark, and Denny is sure that fewer than 3 months before the arrival of the fact-finding mission, all preparations have been completed. The entire cost for Geopark's preparation and the arrival of the team from the UNESCO was taken from West Java's regional budget, Sukabumi district budget, and from CSR Bank BJB. UNESCO will establish whether Geopark Ciletu Pelabuhan Ratu entry in the World Geopark Network or UNESCO Global Geopark at the end of 2017. In addition, Geopark Ciletu Indonesia also proposed Rinjani to gain entry to the World Geopark Network. Listener, that was Miscellany for today featuring West Java Province, which is preparing to make Geopark Ciletu as the World Geopark. We will meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Goodbye!
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we will also play some Indonesian music. Well, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now, let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Riaz Ahmad in Pakistan. He sent his email through VOI Facebook fan page. In his email, Mr. Riaz Ahmad wrote that he really regrets and feels unlucky because he couldn't come to Indonesia. Hello, Mr. Riaz Ahmad, how are you? So long time we have not received your email, but we are really glad because you are still tuned in our radio and enjoy our programs. Thank you for your compliment. We hope next time you have a chance to visit our country and witness by yourself how beautiful our country is. As information, this year VOI will hold international quiz again, so keep listening and send your reception report on our broadcast and don't miss it. Special for you, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Liriklah diriku sejenak, arahkan matamu padaku sesaat, buatlah aku bergelora. Garis kening, lenggokkan pinggulmu sejenak, ke kanan, ke kiri, ke depan, ke belakang, buat diriku terpana.
Garisku yang genit, gadisku yang cantik, kau buatku berbisik oh oh oh. Garisku yang genit, gadisku yang cantik, wajahmu, senyummu, buatku cinta padamu. Gadis genit, lenggokkan pinggulmu sejenak, ke kanan, ke kiri, ke depan, ke belakang, buatlah diriku terpana. Biarlah bayangmu selalu kan kukir namamu. Garisku yang genit, garisku yang cantik, kau buatku berbisik oh oh oh. Garisku yang genit, garisku yang cantik, wajahmu, senyummu, buatku cinta padamu. Gadis genit, selalu di hatiku kan kukir namamu sedalam-dalamnya sebanyak-banyaknya. Garisku yang genit, yang gadisku yang cantik, yang kau buatku berbisik oh 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 oh. Garisku yang genit, yang gadisku yang cantik, wajahmu, senyummu,
listener. Now we will replay an email from Philippe. He was listening to our broadcast in French program through frequency 9525 kilohertz with the simple 55555. Hello, Mr. Philippe. Thank you for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. We are really glad because you can monitor our radio very clearly. Hopefully, you are satisfied with all information which is broadcast by VOI. As your request, we will send our key SL card to your home as soon as possible. Well, Mr. Philippe, we are looking forward to receiving your next letter and also your reception report on our broadcast. Thank you. As our appreciation, we play a beautiful song just for you. Enjoy the song.
Jujur bicara, hanyalah kamu selama ini yang mau mengerti. Walau mungkin sering aku tergoda untuk berbagi hati miliki yang lain. Mana mungkin ku miliki hati yang kedua. Aku hanya punya satu rongga dada. Mana mungkin diriku menduakan cintamu.
hanya satu cinta dalam satu hati yang bisa ku jaga.
Still listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday. Now we continue to replay a comment from Mahesh Jain in India. Mr. Mahesh Jain sent his email dated 31st December 2016. In his email, he said that he is really thankful to VOI because VOI understands the needs of listeners and needs of those people who rely on radio for news and information. He also said that because of many radio stations are shutting down shortwave broadcasts, but VOI keeps this mission on. Hello, Mr. Mahesh Jain. Happy New Year too. Thank you for your email and compliment on our broadcast. We hope in the next future there are more shortwave radios. Well, Mr. Mahesh Jain, please keep listening to our broadcast and send your reception report on our broadcast. Thank you. For you, listener, wherever you are, we will play a beautiful song just for you.
Meskipun aku bukan siapa-siapa, bukan yang sempurna, namun percayalah hatiku milikmu. Meski seringku mengecewakanmu, maafkanlah aku, janjiku kan setia padamu, hanyalah dirimu. Aku milikmu, kau milikku, takkan ada yang pisahkan kita. Ini lagu kita untuk selamanya. Janjiku untukmu, takkan tinggalkan dirimu. Meski seringku mengecewakanmu, maafkanlah aku, ku kan setia padamu, hanya dirimu.
pisahkan kita. Ini lagu kita untuk selamanya. Oh, janjiku untukmu takkan tinggalkan dirimu. Lagu ini akan menjadi saksinya tulusnya hati.
Listener, actually we have received many emails, but unfortunately we have to sign off now. Thank you for always listening to Voice of Indonesia and visit our Facebook fan page. We also appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. I repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi.english@gmail.com, voi.english@gmail.com, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia. Or follow our Twitter at VOI Indonesia, at VOI Indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, we will play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Alika, thank you for listening, and we will meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag.
Selalu cerita siapa mantanmu yang pernah berikan yang tak ku berikan. Aku bukanlah dirinya, dia bukanlah diriku. Jangan pernah membandingkan aku dan dia, dan aku akan buktikan ku lebih baik darinya. Cobalah untuk lupakan mantanmu. Selalu cerita lebih nyaman tanpamu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.